welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated, I want to read from the book of Hosea, chapter 7, verses 8, 9, and 10. Hosea, chapter 7, verse 8, it says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim, he's a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. This morning, I want to speak on a cake not turned. You may be seated this morning. Today, August the 14th, 2022, it is obvious to me that we are living in the church's final hours. I believe we are living in the last moments before the coming of our King. And Jesus had a message for the church in the book of Revelation for this time in history. He said, Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. Hold fast, Christ says. Hold fast to what I've given to you. Don't let any man take your crown. There's nothing worth giving your crown up for. The crown he's talking about is the crown of life given to those who remained faithful, those who kept living for him. We must hold fast to our crown, he says. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The author of Hebrews is speaking about doctrine here. Don't let it slip, he says. Don't let doctrine slip. Hold fast to the things you've been taught. The precious truth that was once delivered to you, he says, continue in it. Continue in the truth. Continue in doctrine. Continue in God's word. It matters that we continue and that we hold fast and we're faithful unto the end. So many people are giving up and changing doctrines and no longer living for God like they used to. But the word of God is saying that this is not the time. August the 14th, 2022. This is not the time to stop believing. This is not the time to loosen your standards. This is not the time to stop being faithful. This is not the time to grow comfortable and begin blending in with the world. For these are the last days, and Christ is coming. And soon Christ will be knocking on your door, and your time will end, and your opportunity will be over. The Bible says, and those of us who are still alive and remain, those who are still faithful, those who kept going, those who continued will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. We're waiting for that day. We're waiting for the moment. And the Bible says, but then we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us and the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That's what's coming. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe this week. And so today is not the day to begin to grow lukewarm. Today is not the day to begin to blend in with the world. But the Bible says we must continue in what we've been taught, continue in the doctrine, continue in prayer, continue in faith, continue in personal revival, continue in winning the lost. Why? Because Christ is coming soon. Now, our scripture this morning refers to Ephraim. Some people call him Ephraim, but I call him Ephraim. And he's a representative of the whole nation of Israel. And in our scripture, Ephraim loses five things that he should have never let slip, five things that he should have held tightly to. And today I want to speak about those five things and how the church in these last moments, in these last days, must hold fast and not lose what Ephraim lost. In verse 8, it says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim began blending in with the world and mixing in. See, Israel was separate. They were distinct. They were a people called by God. God wanted them to be a separate people, a special, a distinctive people, a people that he was pleased to call his own. And God had separated them from all the other nations in the world for his purpose. But they undid what God had so carefully done. And they mixed themselves among that which God had separated them from. And they went from Israelites to being kind of like Israelites because they began to mix and they began to mingle and they married and intermarried among pagan nations around them. And it went so far that they couldn't even tell the difference between an Israelite and a Hittite and a Jebusite and an Amorite. But that didn't slow them down. They kept mixing themselves and they kept blending in with the culture, and they kept becoming a watered-down people, mixing themselves in the world. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10 gives us a glimpse of the end result of all this blending and mixing, saying, "In the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelite woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord." Mixing in one generation led to mixing in the next generation until there arose a generation that had absolutely no respect for the things of God. For eventually there came a new son. There came a new people who blasphemed the name of the Lord. And so they became a people that was more concerned with blending in than they were pleasing God. And they lost their identity as the chosen people of God. Now, the same thing can happen to the church who God has called to be separate. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "If you were of the world would love you. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." 1 John 2 and 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so God is saying, be careful. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody tell you that just because you were saved by grace and the church was saved by grace, that sin no longer matters. For the Lord says, touch not the unclean thing. James uses very strong language to warn against mixing with the world. He calls those who has become blended and mixed unfaithful, saying, "Ye adulterers and ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is really an enemy of God." God is saying, you can't be friends with the world and still be friends with me. You can't love the world and still love me. You can't serve both me and the world, but you must remain a separate people and do things differently and not become blended and mixed up with the culture and forget who you are and forget what I called you out of and forget what I saved you from. There is the temptation to become a watered down and mixed up people. It's happening all over. It's happening in the world. It's happening in churches. It's happening in some of those who have known the truth. It's happening in some of those who had once went down into the waters of baptism. It's happening in some of those who had once been baptized in the Spirit of God, and now they've become a mixed up people, and they went back to what God called them out of, and they turned back to what they promised God they would never return back to, and they've become a people who are no longer separate, and no longer are they committed, and no longer is their Christian identity obvious, and no longer are they abstaining from the things they used to abstain from, and no longer are they staying away from the things that used to convict them, but they've changed and they've become a mixed up, and they've let up on some personal standards, and they've ignored some personal convictions, and they've come to the conclusion that they can be like the world and still serve God, and they can still talk like the world and still serve God, and they can still dress like the world and still serve God. Peter said, speaking about the identity of the church, he says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are we living in such a way where it's obvious that we were called out of darkness? We were called out from among them. We were called out from the world. Are we living in such a way where it's obvious that we were once lost, but now we've been found? We were blind, but now we see. Are we living in such a way where we believe Jesus Christ shed his blood for me, and no longer am I the same? No longer do I live in darkness. No longer am I a slave to sin, but I talk differently and I think differently and I act differently, for I've been saved by the blood of Christ. See, the church that Peter talked about didn't look like the world. They didn't act like the world. They didn't participate in the things that the world participated in. They didn't play around with the world. They didn't watch the same things the world watched and listen to the same things the world listened to. But they were a people of faith. And they were separate, and they were different, and they lived differently, and they thought differently, and they spent their time differently. As we live in the world, this world, there will always be the temptation to be like the world and to love the world and to grow accustomed to the things of the world. But it's dangerous, church, to lose our identity in Christ. It's dangerous to decide that we're no longer going to be separate. It's dangerous to say that we're no longer going to listen to those old godly convictions. It's dangerous to allow convictions to grow old like it's something in the past, and no longer is God calling his people to be holy. God is still calling his people to be holy. And God is still calling his people to be separate and different than the world. And it's a sacrifice to be separate. It's a lot of work to remain separate. But separation empowers the Christian. And what the church needs in this hour, in 2022, is to get so close to Jesus Christ that it's immediately recognizable that we are not of the world, but we are different. We are his people. We are not like everyone else. We do not spend our time doing what everyone else does, but we are dedicated to serving Christ. We are committed to him. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We walk in his Spirit. We're a different people. We're a separate people. We've been set free, delivered, and redeemed. And then Ephraim began to lose his consistency. As scripture says, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Cake not turned is burnt on one side and doughy on the other. It's an illustration of something that had great potential but has become worthless because of neglect. The cake has been placed on the fire. It has the promise and the potential of becoming a refreshing meal, but for some reason it is forgotten and neglected. Somebody has forgotten the cake. And the longer it sits there, the more overdone it becomes on one side, and the more underdone it becomes on the other. Both sides are a problem. Neither side is done right. This is what happens in our walk with God when our focus becomes divided between serving Christ and pursuing the temporary things of the world. There is the temptation to try to manage both sides, but neither of them is appealing to anyone, for one is burnt and the other one is raw. This is what the Lord says to the church in Laodicea. He says, I know thy works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says, I wish you would either choose cold or hot. I wish you would make up your mind, either serve me or serve the world. But because you've tried to blend the two together, he says, I will spew you out. In other words, when we become that uncomfortable mix between hot and cold, and we come to church, but we're unmoved by the worship, or we hear preaching, but it doesn't stir our heart, or we're just that lukewarm enough to be comfortable, but the grace of God is pulling at us and it reaches for us but has no impact on us. This is why the Lord says, I wish you would make up your mind. Either serve me or serve the world. That same image is captured in the phrase, a cake not turned. Who wants to eat a cake not turned? It illustrates how unappealing Israel had become to God. God saw that they weren't sincere. He saw behind the front. They said they loved God, but in their hearts they would worship other gods. They would serve other masters. Their hearts were far from him. They had other idols in their life. They had other idols in their home, and their homes were not full of prayer and consecration. They did not serve him faithfully in their personal lives. And when we mix our loyalties, we become like a cake not turned, unappealing to God. And then Ephraim lost his strength. The scripture says, strangers have devoured his strength. What is a stranger? It is something that has no business sapping us of our strength. But there it is, because we've invited it into our life. You see, other people are doing it. Other people seem to get away with it. Other churches partake in it. Other Christians do it. Other Christians watch it. I've even see other pastors or preachers partake in it. Maybe so, but that is the stranger that is robbing you of your spiritual strength. Maybe you're saying, I don't know why I've been feeling this way. Maybe you've been saying, I don't know why I've been struggling so bad. I don't know why I've been so anxious and fearful and depressed all the time. And I don't know why I can't seem to find some deliverance and I can't seem to get over some things. Maybe it's because there's a stranger in your life, somewhere in your home, somewhere in your heart or in your mind, you've allowed a stranger in, and that stranger has attached itself to you, and that stranger has cause you to feel certain ways and think certain ways, and that stranger has become a stronghold on your life. Church, we need deliverance from our strangers. We need deliverance from some things we've allowed in our hearts, in our homes, strangers that have come into our life, strangers that have tried to invade our mind and our faith. These strangers are robbing us of our spiritual strength. Samson was the strongest man who ever lived, but he let a stranger in. He lost his strength when he began to mix and mingle with the things that were forbidden by God. And so strangers can take away that spiritual strength. And then Ephraim lost his spiritual sensitivity. Our scripture says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. The most tragic words in our text today. He knoweth it not. God knew his condition. His enemies knew his condition. Everyone around him could see his condition, but he knoweth it not. He didn't realize his spiritual decline. He didn't realize how mixed up he was becoming. He didn't realize how watered down he'd become. He didn't realize all of the strangers that he was allowing into his life, for he knoweth it not. Remember the lukewarm church in Laodicea? After saying that he would spew them out, God says, because thou sayest, I am rich and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They think they're rich. They think they're blessed. They think they have need of nothing, but they don't even know that they're actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The prophet Amos sounds a dire warning. He said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. The prophet Amos said, woe to them who are at ease. It is dangerous to get so comfortable and so complacent that we don't even realize we've become blended and mixed up in the world and lukewarm, and we're in danger of becoming a cake not turned. These are some dead giveaways that we should be aware of. When the worship no longer stirs us, when the preaching no longer moves us, when the word of God no longer challenges us, when the anointing no longer rests upon us, when we no longer pray like we used to, when we no longer cry out to God like we used to, when we're not as sensitive to the Spirit of God like we used to be. The prophet said, woe to them who are at ease in Zion. Woe to them who have become comfortable. Woe to them who have let their fire go out. Woe to them who have let up on their convictions. Woe to them who have ignored God's voice. Woe, the prophet said. When we learn to tolerate sin, and when we're comfortable with compromise and we see our Christian life more as a burden instead of a privilege, when the thought of a lost, dying world no longer stirs us, when the word of God no longer convicts us, when the moving of God's Spirit no longer quickens us, we find ourselves no longer praying, we find ourselves no longer broken and contrite before the Lord, and we aren't even sensitive enough to know and realize that we've changed and we aren't as close to God as we used to be. The prophet said, whoa, be careful. Don't you realize you're living in 2022? Don't you realize the coming of the Lord is imminent? The prophet said, whoa, be careful. You're headed to a place of tragedy. You're headed to a place of sorrow. You're leaving behind the best thing out there. Woe to them who have walked away. Woe to them who have quit believing. Woe to them who have stopped living it. Woe to them who have took on a break from Christianity. Woe to them who have walked away from the doctrine. Woe to them who have quit loving the truth. Finally, Ephraim lost his humility. And it says, and the pride of Israel testifieth to his face. And they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him. Ephraim was too proud to acknowledge his condition, even when the prophet confronted him. The prophet said, you need to return to the Lord while you can. Seek him today. But he would not. His pride wouldn't let him. He would not repent. He would not return, for he was comfortable where he was. His state of ease wouldn't let him. God forbid that our pride keeps us from repenting and falling to our knees and asking God for forgiveness. It may be difficult to recover a cake that wasn't turned. Once it's so overdone on one side and it's no longer edible, there's very little that can be done to restore it. But this church is where the illustration breaks down, and I'm almost done. The word of the prophet was not a final judgment, but rather it was an open door. It was an invitation to repent. It was a call of mercy. This tells me that from a spiritual sense, a cake not turned can be restored by turning it back to the fire. Church, this morning, may we be a people that turn back to the fire. It's time to turn the cake. It's time to get back in it. It's time to let the fire of God consume our heart again. The condition is reversible. Your broken condition can be changed. All it takes is to turn back to the fire, and everything you lost can be restored, and your identity can be restored, and your consistency can be renewed, and your strength can be made new. But we've got to decide today, August the 14th, 2022, I will turn back to the fire. I will turn the cake over. I'll get under the influence to the Spirit of God again. I'm gonna become stirred. God is calling some people to repent this morning. God is calling some people to their knees. It's not a final judgment, but it's a call of mercy to get back in it. Get back in the fire. His mercy is calling. Seek Him today, church. Run to the cross. Get back in it. Recommit your life today. Why don't we all stand this morning? God is calling you closer today. His word is not for the perfect saint. His word today is not for the person who has it all together, but His word today ministers to the broken and the lost and the confused and the messed up and the hypocritical and the person who just doesn't have it together. Isaiah the prophet said this in Isaiah 55 and 6. This is good. Listen to this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, for He will abundantly pardon. He says, return, return to the Lord. He's speaking about a person who's been in it before. He's speaking to someone who's been in the fire before. He's speaking to someone who's been in the church before. He's saying, run back to it, get back into it, run back, return to the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and God will have mercy on you. He will abundantly pardon. To pardon is to forgive. How much will God forgive? The prophet used the word abundant, abundantly. Church, listen to this. It's speaking of a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what you would ever expect or anticipate. In other words, if you will seek the Lord while He may be found, if you will call upon Him while He is near, He will forgive you of everything considerably more than you could ever expect or anticipate. He will pardon you of everything. He will forgive you of everything. So let Him return to the Lord, the prophet said. Return today. Find the mercy of God today. Run to His mercy.
Joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.